reading to you from 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and with the 7th verse. And you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And I've sure been trying. My, I've had some wonderful opportunities since I've been a Christian. Have I always followed the Lord's direction? No. Have I always did what he wanted me to do? No. Have I sometimes broken God's heart? I'm sure I have, as well as every other Christian. But that doesn't mean we ought to sit down and get on a pity pot. No, we're supposed to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Tonight I want to speak on a subject that every one of us need to hear, not once, but many, many times. And the title of the message is Winning Over Temptation. And I read in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and with the 13th verse. Now listen to this. There hath no temptation taken you for such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Dear friends, you know why that scripture means so much to me? Well, I'll tell you why. After I was saved, the morning I was saved, God delivered me from alcohol. He really honestly did. But let me tell you something else. I had a smoking problem. I'd smoked since I was a teenager. And I couldn't quit. And I knew it was wrong. The preacher didn't have to tell me that. The Holy Spirit of God revealed to my heart that not only was it a terrible expense, but it's against my health. It can kill you, give you lung cancer. My father-in-law died with lung cancer at 40 years old. I'm telling you, it's terrible. But anyway, I did everything I could to quit. My stars. And I'd hide them from the church. I'd hide them from people because I was ashamed. But God's Holy Spirit just kept borne down on me. Well, I quit two or three times, but I didn't quit for long. I soon went back to smoking. Well, let me tell you what happened. One night I was reading the Bible, and it just seemed to me like, I don't know, I lit a cigarette and I was smoking it while I was reading the Bible, and all of a sudden a cigarette ash dropped down in the Bible. I tried to blow it out, but it wouldn't blow out. And it felt to me like I just reached up and slapped God right in the face. Oh, I was so convicted, so convicted. So what I did, I cried out to God and I said, Lord, I gotta quit smoking and I can't do it. I've tried everything. And then all of a sudden I felt, if I don't quit smoking, the Lord just allowed to let me die of the lung tumor too, like my father-in-law. All right, I threw the cigarettes in the fireplace. My wife come in from the store, and I was white as a sheet. She, what's the matter, Cece? I said, well, I just had a conversation with the Lord, and I have to throw my cigarettes away. In fact, I did. Oh, she said, we're going to go through this again. I said, yes, if I want to live, we're going to go through it. The next morning I woke up, the very first thing that came across my mind was reaching out on that night table and getting me a cigarette. But then I remembered the night before. I got sick at my stomach. Well, I got up and shaved and shampooed and showered, and my wife, she fixed my breakfast. But I was awful quiet. Oh, how I wanted a cigarette. Now, those of you who smoke, you know what I'm saying. When you have a cup of coffee, you light a cigarette. That's the way it is. Or if something happens that messes you up, you light a cigarette to calm your nerves. I went to work that morning, and it was a kind of a rainy, nasty day. It can be awful rainy in Seattle. I never, ever, ever come home for lunch. This day I did. I came home, I walked in the house, and I thought I would literally going to die. I had to have a smoke. Don't let anyone kid you. Nicotine is the worst addictive thing that you can get. It's as bad as alcohol. And I was walking across the furnace there. They had a furnace in the floor, underneath the floor. And I said, God, I can't bear it. I can't bear it. And this verse of Scripture, beloved, I'd read it sometime, but I sure don't remember it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I said, God, I claim that right this moment. Beloved, I've never smoked since. To God be the glory and the praise. I didn't do it. He did it for me. Read that scripture. Take it and write it down if you're a smoker. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse. Take it, pray over it, read it, study it. I'll tell you right now, God can give you a victory over smoking. Now, why temptation troubles us all? Well, we are targets of the tempter, who's the devil. All feel the lure of the world. All experience the appetites of the flesh. And believe you me, I can amen and amen that. I've been having problems for years dieting. I used to be a little guy. But when I got 40 years old, I don't know what happened. But I have to fight all the time for my weight because I don't want to commit hara-kiri. A text to bring the victory to the tempted. Now, the tempter we face, we have an adversary. Read in 1 Peter 5:8. Satan is compared to a roaring lion. He continually seeks victims. You know, Satan is the source of temptation. Don't you remember in the garden? Now, the Bible said Eve looked on that fruit and it looked good in the eye. Friends, sin does look good. Don't let anyone tell you it doesn't. There's nothing that looks any sweeter to this preacher than a great big banana split. Oh, my stars, how I love banana splits. I loved a good malted milkshake. Can't have them. Once in a while, I'll sneak in a little one. But no, Satan is the tempter. Well, the Lord told Adam and Eve, now you can do anything you want in the garden, you can eat anything you want, with the exception of this one tree. Please don't eat of that, because if you do, you'll surely die. Well, Satan said, that's a dirty lie. God knows the minute you partake of that fruit, you will be as smart as him. And she doubted God and believed Satan. Whenever you doubt the Bible, you are working with Satan. Believe me. There's scriptures in there I don't fully understand, and I'll have to be frank with you. And there's many things in this Bible that some of the greatest doctors of theology cannot explain. But the temptation of Jesus, remember when the devil took him out there in the desert, lied to him, and oh boy, did you know what? He is a deceiver, and he's a tempter, and is a liar. Put that down in your book. He is a stinking liar. He will never, ever, ever, ever tell you the truth. The tempter is a thief. See, we are equipped, according to the Bible, to win over this powerful enemy. And I mean, I read in 1 John 4:4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." See, the Holy Spirit of God lives in every born-again believer's heart. Someone said to me the other day, "Well, you know..." Listen, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you are not born again. You are not one of God's children. How do you get God's Holy Spirit in your heart? By telling Jesus you're sorry for your sins and inviting him in to be your Lord and Savior. And then the Spirit of the living God comes in your heart. Listen, friends, the Holy Spirit is within every believer. Yes, sir. And if you don't have him in your heart, you're not one of his. The Holy Spirit is greater in power than our foe. No matter what you're told. You know what? I'm talking to some people tonight who have been tempted to have an affair. Oh, wait a minute. Come on now. You have been tempted. Some people fall in love with their preacher. Naughty, naughty. Some men fall in love with a waitress. And this waitress might be toying with his affection, might be flirting with him. That's the devil working through that girl, or vice versa. But the Lord is faithful. Get this. God limits temptation to such as is common to man. See, Satan has allowed no untried enticements. The world is allowed no unknown allurements. See, the flesh is allowed no unexperienced cravings. Listen, friends, every one of us face temptation. And a lot of people don't believe that Jesus was tempted like you would be. The only difference is he never yielded. Listen, friends, and listen to me very carefully. If you're tempted to sin, it's not a sin. Only after you yield, then it becomes sin. You hear me? Now, if you're tempted to sin and to do something that's wrong and you don't do it, it's not a sin. You know, friends, maybe I told you about this, but the other day I went down to the bank to cash a check for $100. And they know me real well down at the bank, all of the people, the inside and outside, and I witness to all of them and give them my film and my book. They all know me very well. They call me Old Trouble. But anyway, I went in there, and I said to this lady, hey, I need some walking around money. And she just laughed. She said, okay, I'll give it to you. Now, while she got the money together, they put in a little envelope, and I just tossed it over on the cowl of my car, drove on. I got home, and guess what I found? $200 instead of $100. Two fifties and five twenties. And I looked on the slip that I signed, and it said $250 and five twenties. I got her the phone, and I got a hold of her, and I said, "Young lady, you know what you did?" She said, "Oh, Cecil, what did I do?" I said, "You gave me too much money." Now, friends, don't you think that the devil wouldn't say, "Well, Cecil, couldn't you lose it? Use another 100? They probably wouldn't have found out who got it. Don't make any difference, they would have not. I knew I got it. The Lord knew I got it. The devil knew I had it. And I said, "I tell you what you do. You take $100 out of my checking account or my savings account to make up for this $100. Just keep it. Otherwise, I'll have to come down to the bank." No, she said, "I'll do that." So she did. But Satan is always tempting you and I to sin. And God limits temptations to what we can resist. Temptation cannot be above what you are able. Let's go over that one more time. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear. The other day I was into the grocery store. And I love grapes. And, you know, a diabetic, you're supposed to eat a little fruit here and there. And I saw the sign, grapes, $3.39 a pound. Wow! Was I tempted to buy them? I sure was. Could I afford to buy them? I sure could not. I could have bought them. But boy, I shouldn't do it. But that was a temptation. Don't say resisting is impossible for you, because God guarantees you are up to the occasion. His grace is sufficient for today's test. Hey, the way of escape we must find. Every temptation is required to have a way of escape. Now, there is a divinely prepared escape route. It said, God will always, underline always, make a way of escape. This is His way of showing us His love. Escape routes God has furnished for those who were tempted. Oh, listen, you know what I tell? I deal with a lot of alcoholics. Sometime one will call me and say, Cecil, I think I've got to have a drink. No, you don't have to have a drink. I said, look, God has kept me sober for 51 years. And I said, He can keep you sober for that many years too. But you pray and you tell Him. You throw yourself upon Him and say, Lord, I feel I have to have a drink. Or how about this scripture that I've been reading to you? You read that over again. There is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. Everybody has temptation, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, friends, a scripture can do it. The appearance of a helpful person. Oh, listen, on the darkest days, God makes a way. I told you, when I went in my house that day for lunch, I thought I would die. I told the Lord, Lord, I have to have a cigarette. But you know what? He gave me that scripture. And you know, I didn't have to drink, didn't have to smoke anymore. To God be the glory and the praise. Let me ask you, beloved, are you enduring temptations today? Are you near defeat? Are you about to yield to the tempter? Listen, you can triumph over this temptation. Our Lord has faced the tempter and defeated him. He will give strength and grace for you to triumph too. Okay? You're tempted to go down and spend a lot of money tomorrow. You're tempted to go down and buy one of those big old SUVs that guzzles gas. Or you're tempted to be unfaithful to your wife. And there's a young gal in your office that's been coming on to you like gangbusters. And you're just about to yield. You're married and got a son and a daughter. And you're about to yield because Satan has told you that is what you want. You know what, friends? You won't hear this many times, but sex was given by God to man and wife, not to shack jobs. You say, well, I love this girl I'm shacking up with. Well, you're wrong. I don't mean you don't love her, but if you loved her, you'd marry her. Otherwise, you'd get away from there, because you're living in deep sin. Oh, yes, you are. You say, well, Cease, look, I smoke a joint once in a while. Not often, but once in a while I feel a need for a joint. Ask him to help you with it. Don't smoke joints. Don't do drugs. You say, well, Cecil, you know, I guess I'm a homosexual, and I hear it's wrong. And we have a church that our pastor's a homosexual. They're wrong. They're dead wrong. And if you're a homosexual and you die that way, you'll burn in hell. Does that mean I'm mad at you? No, no, it means I love you because I'm telling you, I'm warning you what the Bible says. Well, what are you going to do with it? You going to believe me or believe God or believe the devil? Now, it's up to you. The ball's in your court. You see, Cecil, you know what? I've been going to church for years and years. And you know what? I've never felt this way like I feel tonight. But I feel a tugging at my heart. I can't explain it. I feel like crying. I don't know what to do. Well, if you die today, where would you spend eternity? And you say, well, I'll tell you one thing, Cecil. I sure hope I can go to heaven. I didn't ask you that. The Bible said this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. 1 John 5:13. That's what he said. Now, I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm good, not because I tithe. It's because I accepted Jesus when I was so drunk I couldn't see. And I cried out from the bottom of my soul, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He delivered me from alcohol. Months later, he delivered me from tobacco. And I tell you right now, he'll deliver you too. If you're lost and unborn again, and you want to be born again, you want to have your name written in the Lamb Book of Life, here's a prayer that could change all of that. But you better pray it believing and not just playing. Don't you dare pray this prayer unless you truly mean it. Here's how it goes, dear friends. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know Cecil's been saying things about being unfaithful and these things, and I have been tempted. Lord, I've been tempted to go out and have an affair, and I love my wife and my kids. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord, not to yield. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll come into my heart and save me right now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't ask you for money. I won't embarrass you. I won't jump all over you. I don't care where you go to church. Oh, but I'm concerned about where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you, get on the phone right now. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, how I pray that we said something or read a scripture that would cause you to turn your heart toward the Lord. He's concerned, beloved, about you. He's concerned about your temptations. He's concerned about our trials and our tribulations. He sure is. Well, friends, pray for me and my wife that God will give us the strength to go on to prison. Like I say, I'm 81 years old. I get in my little electric scooter, put my little bottle of oxygen, and away we go. And we go in and tell those men and women that God loves them. And we've seen thousands saved over the years. What a beautiful ministry that God has given us, and I thank Him for it. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.